It was a tragic weekend in Chicago. Friday night, the tree lighting brought in hundreds of thousands of people. And on State Street, our colleagues, our friends at ABC7 started noticing people were gathering. Kids were gathering. People were, of course, going to the Chicago Theater. Alderman Brian Hopkins, you have asked for a curfew. The mayor has shot down your proposal. Tell me what you know about the teen takeover on Friday night and what your plan is now.
Well, since you mentioned curfew, Lisa, as you know, we currently have the authority to enforce curfew at 10 p.m. So that's exactly what happened. At 10 p.m., Chicago police started enforcing the curfew law. They moved in and they identified some of the ringleaders and some of the more egregious troublemakers within the crowd, went after them and got them on curfew violations. Took them out of the crowd and took them into protective custody and removed them from the situation. It had the desired effect. The event started to disperse shortly after that. So it's a safe assumption to think if we could have enforced that curfew earlier, we potentially could have prevented what turned out to be a fatal shooting.
So seven kids were shot, one was killed, Armani Floyd. He was only 14 years old. Should he be out, you know, responding to a teen trend or a teen takeover on social media, or should he not be out alone?
Yeah, clearly he should not be out alone. That is a failure of parenting, and there's not a lot we can do about it on our end if parents don't do their job and allow their young teens to go downtown in a large group, unsupervised, after dark. There's not a lot we can do to make that a safe situation. In fact, the Chicago Public School System, working in conjunction with the mayor's Department of Public Safety, sent an email to the Chicago Public School families telling them that it would be unsafe. That's the word they used in the email, unsafe, to allow their young children and your young teenagers to go downtown on a Friday night and participate in this organized teen trend. Unfortunately, 300 families didn't get the memo, and they allowed their teens to come downtown, and the consequences speak for themselves.
Or 300 kids lied to their parents and said they weren't going downtown and they're going somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I'm sure there's, you know, individual explanations for why it happened. But again, you know, we're calling on parents to do their job as parents. And if they fail to do their job as parents, it puts the burden on the rest of us, on law enforcement and public officials. And there's only so much we can do, you know, especially in a crowd like this when there were weapons involved. There was quite a bit of violence, actually, before the shooting broke out. We had a number of police officers who were attacked, who were sprayed in the face with mace and pepper spray. One of the teens had a stun gun that he was wielding as a weapon against the police. And we knew that there were guns in the crowd as well. So this was a very dangerous and volatile situation from the immediate onset, hours before the shooting broke out.
It's heartbreaking that we live in an area where 14-year-olds have access to guns and carry them without worry.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. None of us signed up for this. We didn't expect our society to get to the point where it is right now, where you have, you know, teens in some ways behaving like typical teens, you know, getting involved in cliques and, you know, wanting to socialize and be in large groups. That is normal. What's not normal is the violence that has come to characterize these events and the access to guns and weapons and just a sense of hopelessness that these teens just don't feel they have anything to live for. So they have no impulse control and they're just going to live in the moment without any adult supervision to try and guide them. It's absolutely tragic.
Alderman Brian Hopkins is with us. I'll tell you, the saddest thing I saw is I did watch the video. Shots rang out. People scattered, except for an elderly couple near the Chicago Theater. I would guess in their late 70s, maybe early 80s, out for a night in Chicago, and they didn't have the ability to run. They only ran so far, and then they had to sit on one of the big cement planters, knowing that they were very much at risk, but their bodies didn't allow them to run. And it's those vulnerable people that now make the decision they're not coming back into the city. Because I think when you're young and you're healthy, you walk with a little more swagger and less fear. But when you already have challenges in your life, you realize you can't get away from a scene like this.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure it should matter to us, you know, who got struck with gunfire, whether they were participating in the teen trend or just happened to be an innocent bystander. It's in some ways it's equally tragic. But I will say this, there was a show going on in the Chicago theater at the time the gunfire broke out. Fortunately, it did not coincide with the ending of that show. I can only imagine what would have happened if through random bad luck, the shooting started as the doors of the Chicago theater were opening and the crowd was spilling out onto State Street. That's unthinkable. I mean, you could have seen a massive amount of bloodshed from people who were just there for entertainment. You know, it's only random good fortune that that didn't happen.
I got a press release from a retired police sergeant who was encouraging people to never come down into Chicago to, you know, strangle us financially. I say us. It's just because I love this city. But to strangle the city financially till the city learns its lesson and does something about the crime. But honestly, as you pointed out, you had enough police officers. You had people on the streets. I'm not sure we can really get a hold of what is happening. Can we and should people stay away from the city?
Well, absolutely not. In fact, you know, the next night we had the Michigan Avenue Lights Festival parade. Almost a million people came downtown for the parade, and it went off without an incident. There was no violence of any kind. Everybody had a great time. You know, if you looked at the crowd, you wouldn't have known that just the night before, you know, there was a violent incident, you know, in a different part of downtown. We also have the Chris Kindle Market going on. There was an hour wait to get in on both Saturday and Sunday. So it didn't stop the crowds from coming downtown to enjoy the holiday festivities. And I understand people have to make their own decisions about what they want to do and what they feel safe doing. But, you know, I live here and I'm not going to change what I do. And, you know, I recognize we have problems in this city that need to be changed. And I try to make those changes. That's my job, is to try to make changes that can make us feel more safe. But in the meantime, I'm not going to stop living my life. And I'm certainly not going to feed into the idea that Chicago is a hellhole, because despite our problems, I don't believe it is.
I agree with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. Be safe.
Alderman Brian Hopkins from the 2nd Ward.